at verse number 10. The title of the message tonight is Discovering Bethel. Discovering Bethel. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. And may I say to you in the beginning of this message, it is requisite that every man in his time discover Bethel. Amen. Prior to this, Bethel was the place of Abraham's second altar. And Jacob is going to discover Bethel. He's going to come to the place of it. Saints, just coming to the place of it does not mean you've discovered it. Amen. It may discover you. There's a difference when Bethel discovers you and you discover it. Come on, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 28. Look with me the 10th verse. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Woo! Man, I had a feeling I had a quiet crowd on me tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. Maybe I was wrong. Verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, he's left his father's house in fear of Esau. He's headed toward Laban's house. And in his journey, he comes to this place. Verse 11. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now that's going to be our text. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name at the first was called Luz at the first. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for the privilege of your word. We thank you, Father, for the work that you accomplish, the things in our life, God, that you bring to pass as of necessity. We thank you, Father, for this service tonight, the events of the day, dear God, all that's necessary to minister in this place, to minister not only to the day present, God, for days past, not only to the day, but the Spirit, God, in us. Oh, God, Father, we'd cleave to you tonight, Father, for we need you in every capacity. We need you, God, to minister your word to us, Lord. Father Almighty, we pray, God, Lord, you'd not just discover us, but we'd discover you tonight. God, we'd discover Bethel. We pray, Father God, you'd anoint this message, anoint this people, this preacher. We'll give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me take you just to a few verses. Look with me in the same book, chapter 31, verse number 13. Chapter 31, verse number 13. God speaking, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now rise, get thee out from this land, and return into the land of thy kindred. Now God's telling him to go back. He's telling him who he is. I'm the God of Bethel. Look with me, chapter 35, verse number 6. Well, go up to verse 3. Let us arise. Well, go up to verse 2. I'll just have you run. We'll just keep going backward. Then Jacob said unto his household, to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Now, saints, tonight I want to talk to you for a little while on this subject, discovering Bethel. I mentioned to you at the beginning of the message, Bethel was the place of Abraham's second altar. Jacob is now, Abraham is dead, Isaac has passed, he's about to pass, he is in the closing hours of his life. It is obvious now that Jacob is about to step into the ancestral reigns over this great nation. He will be the patriarch. He'll birth these patriarchs, the 12 sons, one daughter. He'll birth them into existence. But it's very important that this man find his way to God. Abraham was termed the father of faith, and in the seed of Isaac would Abraham's seed be called, the blessing of the, not in Ishmael, that was also Abraham, but it was through Isaac's seed, and Jacob's going to be this patriarch. He's yet to discover all of these things. He has stolen from his brother. He stole his birthright through that red pottage. That's why Esau's called Edom. That red, the color red, that red pottage. He stole that birthright. And later on, he steals his blessing. We know that story. Now, his mother's in fear of his life. Later on, his father will be as well. Tells him, you leave, go back to Laban. Don't take of these daughters of the Canaanites as your brother has. But you go to your mother's brethren, to Laban's house, and take from him a daughter for a wife. So he flees. He goes back. Now, on his way there, he comes upon this place. Now, saints, as I said to you, it's one thing to discover Bethel. It's another when Bethel discovers you. God opens. If you look back, go back down. We don't read all this, but I'll take you back to our text. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He didn't realize that himself. God revealed that to him. He lays down that night. He takes some stones, makes for himself a pillow. There in the night, God gives him a dream, a ladder lift up between earth and heaven, angels of God ascending and descending. This thing comes upon him. God speaks to him there, gives him a promise. He awakens, realizes this is the very house of God, Bethel, the house of God. He said, I didn't know it. In the morning, he pours oil upon the stones, making it a pillar, an altar unto God. Then he makes some statements to God. Now, saints, we're going to watch Jacob over the next little while. As his life by necessity must change. Jacob at this point does not have capacity to discover Bethel. Bethel's the only one that can do the discovery. And saints, I've watched this a lot in church as men stumble in to the presence of God not knowing God was there. God knew they were there. They could see God when he revealed himself, but they did not have the capacity to discover Bethel on their own. He said, surely this is the house of God. God's in this place, and I knew it not. I did not know it. Now, saints, this is revealing to us the character of this man. Now, we're going to watch him. We're going to watch him over the next little while. I heard my home pastor say one time, he said, I never did like Jacob, and I hardly liked him any better after he had that turnaround. So there's something about that man. Devices, always deceptive. We watch this in Jacob's life. He took hold of Esau's heel as his birth. He steals his birthright. He steals his blessing. You know, if I'm looking on, I like Esau. He's a man of the woods. He was a hunter. He was an archer. Could make that savory meat. He could not only hunt it, kill it, he could cook it too. I got a feeling I would like Esau, but he was of a rebellious nature. I'd have fell off with him there. But his father loved him. But now Jacob's come to steal those things. You know, looking on, I could have said Esau's about to give him what he deserves. I mean, that's just the flesh side of this thing. But saints, God has a covenant. He said a thing here. He said the younger will be master to that older one. That older one will serve the younger. That's God's statement. Now, when that's God's call and God's statement, Bethel has got to be discovered, saints. It must be. God's done the revealing up to this point. Now he's going to Laban's house, and on his way he comes to this place. He doesn't recognize this for any special purposes. He didn't recognize this as where God, Abraham and God met together. But he will that night, this night, he's going to witness the significance of this place. As God reveals himself through this dream, he speaks to him things that he has determined to do because of his grandfather and because of his father. And Jacob comes away with this statement again, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now, you can always discover when a man has been discovered by Bethel, but has not yet discovered Bethel himself. And I'll give you one revelation of this. Here's a clue that Bethel's discovered him, but he hasn't discovered Bethel yet. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Now, did you hear all that? Let's look at that again. Here's what God says. Here's what Jacob says to God. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, keep me in this way that I go, give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. In other words, if God agrees to these five things, I'll serve him. All of these things. Saints, that's a man who has not discovered Bethel yet. God's revealing himself to this man, but he does not have an ability to discern God yet. Now, I won't take you to all the scripture that this encompasses. You've read it many times, I'm certain. But as he heads on to Laban's house, God ministers to him there. Immediately he comes upon Rachel, and he loves this daughter of Laban. He serves for Rachel 7 years. Laban gives him Leah. He serves another 7 years. He gives him Rachel. He serves again for his cattle. This time, so Laban's ministering the portion of Jacob unto Jacob. There's deception on both sides of the fence. He said, I'll take the streaked, I'll take the brown among the flocks. And he peels the rods before the healthy cattle, does not sow before the weakened, so that the strong were Jacob's and the weak were Laban's. There's deception still at work in this man's life. He's gone back to his old ways, and yet God has blessed this man. Saints, it's an amazing thing that God would bless because he's set a covenant. And church, there are times you and I can be confused by God's blessing. It's not because we've discovered Bethel, but that Bethel has discovered us. That God has a covenant he wants to keep. And it may not have started with us, but the generation prior to our own. But saints, God will make a promise to a former generation and determined to do it in us. But if we don't discover Bethel ourselves, we'll lose the whole deal. Lose it all. Saints, there have been times I've watched this. God set himself to do something in a man's life, and you knew it come out of his lineage. There was something of good there. There's good blood. There's good seed. There's good heritage in that lineage. God was going to do a thing. But because a man refused to experience, because a man would not discover, saints, just because Bethel has discovered you doesn't mean you've discovered Bethel. Come on, church. Just because you and I have been at the house of God and the gate of the kingdom doesn't mean we've known, we've understood that we're wise to, privy to, that we have a discernment of spirit. God wants to do a thing, but saints, there must come a time you break through on the grounds. It's not just God trying to do a thing, but you recognize the presence of the divine nature of a holy God. That must happen in every life before what God promises comes to pass upon that life. It must take place. Just because God's promised to do it in your granddaddy and your daddy doesn't mean it's going to take shape in you and I until it becomes a reality of our own. God says to this man, I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. I'll cause you to draw out from north, south, the east, and the west. And yet he didn't. Here he's trying to make deals with God. Five deals. God, you take care of me, provide for me, minister to my needs, bring me back to this place safely, and I'll serve you. Saints, you and I are always trying to make deals with God until we ourselves discover Bethel. Come on, church. We're trying to make deals with God. All of these things, we're trying to make deals with God. I'm trying. What are we talking about? Bethel. Here it was. It looked like sand and rocks, like all the rest of the terrain. But it was where God decided he was going to set up a special place. I've determined that this geographical location on this planet is where I'm going to meet with man in a special way. And I will draw a man to this place out of my own will. I will cause him to venture upon these grounds. And if he can see me for who I am, he'll be blessed and benefited by it. But if not, he will still witness that I've been there, that I have a covenant desire with him. Saints, there are times God would share with you and I a covenant desire. A desire, a potential that he wants to work in your and my life. That which he wants and desires to do, that's God discovering us. That's not us discovering God. God would say to you, I've got a call on your life. I've got a purpose for your life. There is that which I want to do. Saints, I've watched this many times as God has, without doubt, had purpose on a man or woman's life. I watched that. I thought, oh, God, that's an exciting thing. But after years, saints, of seeing this, watching of this, I realize that just because God has a call on an individual's life simply means potential for that individual. That doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. That means the potential is there that God wants to do a thing, but that man, that woman, has to discover God for themselves. They've got to have a personal experience with a divine God. Now, we have a generation, church, that just because Bethel has discovered us, we feel like we've got what we need from God. Because we've been surrounded by the spiritual. Because God's speaking his word and there's life flowing around us. Can you imagine having been Jacob that night as he's laying there on the earth? He sees this great ladder lift up between heaven and earth, the angels of God ascending and descending. He hears the word of the Lord say to him, I'm going to give you the covenant of your grandfather. I'm going to bless you. All of these things. What an amazing thing. And then the man wakes up. And he's separated in his thoughts between what he's seen. This has taken him back. I mean, this has come out of nowhere. It's a surprise to him. It's against his nature. Surely this is the place of God, and I didn't even know it. There was no understanding at all. I'm amazed by these experiences. Saints, to be amazed and to be in wonder does not mean that we own what amazes us or causes us to wonder. Because we're surrounded by wisdom doesn't mean we have wisdom. Just because God's speaking doesn't mean we have the ability to take it in. You and I can hear with our ears, but the Spirit has to create an ability to listen. Only God can take a man, make him something else. Only God can take a Jacob, make him an Israel. Hear me, it must take place in every generation. God would set up his promise. He's set to do a work in this house. He's set to do a work in your life, in my life. There is that God wants to accomplish. Surely Jacob was surrounded by the manifest presence of God, and he did not know it. When he got up off the earth, saints, it was a sure sign that it had not taken hold on him, because he's trying to make a deal with God immediately. If you'll give me these five things, I'll serve you and give you tithes of all that I have. Saints, but he put these five things before he put God first. He didn't recognize God. God surprised him with his presence, and then he's trying to make a deal with God. How do you know? We're going to watch him as he continues to deceive in Laban's house. Now, saints, his mother Rachel wanted him to go, and Isaac sends him. But I can tell you, God orchestrated all the events that were going to take place in Laban's house. This deceiver, is about to be deceived. He would say of Laban, "You've deceived me 10 times. You've changed my wages." He said, "I served you 7 years for that daughter. You gave me another. Served you again. You've lost nothing, but you've demanded everything at my hand." That deceiver is going to be deceived. Sam, you know, we want God. And when Bethel discovers us, and when God says, I'm going to do a thing in your life. Now, church, I've watched this. This happens without, this is 100 percentile right here. This happens without doubt. When Bethel discovers you, when God reveals his intention over your life, then the days of perfecting are ahead. Many times we're confused by this. God says he wants to do a thing in the altar. We immediately conceive that God wants to begin to set up the action of his will in my life. Oh no. Saints, what must take place after Bethel discovers me is I must discover it. I must discover God's house. I must be able to recognize, oh, this is the ground of God. God surely is in this place. Oh my. Moses saw that burning bush, didn't know it was God. God revealed himself to that man. Moses had to discover. He had to come to an understanding. You and I, in every generation that God wants to do a work, every man that stands in that place must discover Bethel himself. You have got to have your own experience. These boys that grow up in our house can walk inside, live inside here. Saints, I have discovered Bethel. I know what the Spirit of God is. But these boys have to understand that for themselves. They do to a great degree. Amen. There is still much more discovery. Saints, and in every generation, it is the demand upon every life. Just because God wants to do a work in you, that's not enough. That is the potential of God. It's what God can bring to pass. He said, I'm set to bring you out of that land into a good land and a large. But a whole generation lost their lives, saved too, because of fear and unbelief. Hear me, saints. You have to discover Bethel yourself. You know, there are times, as a minister of the gospel, and I've listened to the lament of many ministers. You preach, you tell, you exclaim, you preach in the Spirit all of these things and surround the people with the Word of God. But saints, there's only a few who truly break in on that ground to discover the true Bethel of God. Bethel continues to discover them, but they do not discover for themselves. Saints, you and I must come to the place where we recognize God. John didn't know who he was looking for, but when he saw him walk on the shores of Galilee, he said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. He said, "I'm not worthy to loose his shoe latch." He said that before he saw him, but when he saw him walk down that shore, he knew exactly who he was. Hear me, saints, that Old Testament Jew lost sight of the reality of the divine God bound up in the Old Testament law when Jesus came to reveal himself. But those who had a true heart for God recognize that this was God Almighty. Hear me, saints, you must discover Bethel in your own life. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Hallelujah. Now I'll take you on farther. Here, Jacob has gone through a lengthy time in his life of deception. But it is very interesting, saints, that even in his deceptive lifestyle, and God had set up a covenant desire in him, birthed in him through his grandfather, his father, and now God was set to bring this to pass in this man's life. He's dealing with a deceiver. God's chosen him, 2 brothers born. It's the younger that's going to have the preeminence over the older. He will be the one carry on this covenant promise with God. This deceiver, this man who just couldn't get a hold of him. God wants to use him, but he can't see it. He's going to go through a time of deception. He's deceived in all of these. Laban deceives him multiplied times. He wearies him. He serves. But God blesses this man. Even in his deception, God blessed this man, Jacob. He gave him cattle. He gave him children. He gave him men servants and women servants. All of these things, God blessed him. Saints, you and I, if we're not careful, we will mistake God's fortune upon our life as the purpose of God. we will mistake God's intention upon our life and the subsequent blessing that comes with it as having fulfilled God's desire. Jacob had still not yet discovered Bethel for himself. Saints, oftentimes the child of God or the church will stop short of discovering God's house for themselves because they're being blessed. Surely God's desire is in me. He spoke to me in the altar. He's ministering to me financially. I've got a finer home. I drive a nicer car. More money in the bank. All of that. I've got friends, a position in the community, a place of respect in the church, and the list goes on and on and on. After a while, saints, we look around on our herds. We look on the parking lot. So all the church house is filled with people. Automobiles fill the parking lot. Money in the bank. All of these blessings to my personal self, we would say, cattle and goods, lands, all of these things, and we would say, God, surely I'm walking in your pleasure and doing your will. Saints of God, many times these blessings have come to you and I, not because we prayed them down or we obeyed God for them, but somebody believed God in the past, and he said, I'm not only going to bless you, I'm going to bless your seed. Amen. And they rejoiced in that blessing, and that child picked that up and saw it as their own and never found God for themselves personally. If you believe it, can you say amen? Saints, we're trying to toy with God. You don't toy with God. Well, he blessed him in all of this, and he's still a deceiver. He's still a deceiving man. All of these things, he's deceiving with these herds. Finally, he comes to this place of great estate. He flees from his father-in-law. He flees with his wives, his children, all his herds, his servants. He flees. Now, there's a lot of scripture that encompasses all of that. I'm just going to depend on you to having read the story to recall. You can go back and read all this if you'd like. But he flees from Laban. He seeks to go back home. God tells him, said, you get out of this land. You go back to where you came from. That's what I'm giving you all of Canaan because I promised Abraham I would. I'm going to give it to you because I promised Abraham. Saints, I don't want God giving me something because he promised somebody else. Come on, church. I said, I don't want God giving me something because he promised it to somebody else. I don't want to be borrowing somebody's blessing. It will not pay off on my regard in the end. Saints, I've got to have my own blessing from the Lord, or I'm not going to be able to pass it down upon those who I would desire to share that with. I'll consume it all. Oftentimes, you and I are reflected in three generations. Many times, it's that the child and that grandchild. All of it seems to have been three generations. We watch that through the Bible. You see it over and over and over again. You and I are influenced and influenced. We influence the generation prior, then our own, and the two after us. We're inside this whole thing. But saints, there's so much that must take place. It's the demand upon every life that you and I discover Bethel for ourselves. I've got to discover God. It's one thing to be surrounded by the presence of the Lord. It's one thing to be in the midst of a Pentecostal worship service where the word of God goes forth and the anointing falls. You can be in that place from your childhood all the way through. You've seen the altars filled with people seeking God, folks full of the Holy Ghost, hungry for God in the altar, men called out to do the work of God. You can be surrounded by that all of your life, and Bethel calling your name, but never discover it for yourself. My God, it cannot be so, church. It cannot be. Men can last a lifetime being discovered by God's house, but never discovering God's house themselves. Oh, hear me, saints. Oh, my God. I've watched this more times than not. God's discovering them, but they're not discovering God. Well, we go on from this place. Jacob's on his way back home. But now God's going to test him. This is the great test. I can tell you that one of the greatest, most valuable moments in Jacob's life is when Esau comes searching for him. Hear me. I mean, this is the day of reckoning. Esau is coming search for his brother. Now, saints, as far as we know, scripture past would say he's come with blood in his eyes. I'm going to kill that fella. That's the last thing he said of this man and hadn't changed since. Now Esau's coming. He's got 400 with him. All he could interpret out of that is my brother has come to finish the job. He's come to do this. And saints, I believe this is one of the most singular important moments in this man's life. It's all reckoning now. I believe this. I've watched it too many times take place. Every man has a reckoning moment. You hear me? You don't get a bunch of them. Sometimes you only get one. Every man has a reckoning moment. That doesn't mean it just passes in a night as it did Jacob. It could. But every man experiences a season that is a reckoning moment that will call him to determine and to define the person that he's going to be. Will this individual find me and serve me? Or will they go on in themselves? I'll have to move on my covenant with somebody else. If you don't go, Mordecai said to Esther, said deliverance and enlargement will come from some other place. Said, but you've come to the kingdom. Could it be you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Saints, this was the reckoning hour for Esther. It is the reckoning hour for Jacob. Esau's come. He's got 400 with him. All that can say to the man is Esau's come to finish the job. Now, saints, he has to draw on all of this past perspective. He's been a deceiver. He's been told to flee toward Laban's house. Now, church, I want you to think this through for a moment. Now, it's been a long time since he's been home. He's been for years now in his father-in-law's house, serving for his wives and for his cattle. A lot of reflection. Now, this man, Jacob now sees himself. He sees himself as the one who's the victim. He's been victimized all this time. He's had his wages changed multiplied times. His dad-in-law has done him a disservice. And you and I can come to conclusions in our mind because we've done wrong. We're the victim. Son of God, and that is the conclusion of a man who still has not yet discovered Bethel for himself. All he can say is, I've been through trouble. That's all he can see is himself. A man who can't discover God's house cannot, because he only can discover himself. Here these things have come. He sees himself as a victim. All of this he sees. God sent him down there, church, not simply to be blessed. He sent him to Laban's house to be victimized. Come on, you hear me saying? He sent him there to be victimized. He knew what Laban was, and he knew who he was. He knew what he was going to get when he got down there. He made a covenant with him before he sent him. It was after he received all of this. God wanted to do something, but he recognized something had to be done inside this man. He's got to obtain an ability to know God's house when he sees it. He's got to have an ability to know what it is to break through on holy ground. He's got to know what it is to touch God all by himself. Grandfather can't do it. His father can't do it. Has got to be an ultimate moment in this man's life. He's going to do it by himself, or it's not going to happen. So is it with you, saint. You've got to discover this for yourself. There's no in-law can stand in the gap, make up the hedge for you. There's no friend, there's no pastor, there's no loved one. You've got to discover this for yourself. If not, it'll be lost in your generation. Now, here we are, this great reckoning moment in this man's life. Jacob's come. His brothers come 400 with him. Church, there comes this time and the hour. Over the span of individual's life, you start watching the beginning of a thing, and this whole circular motion, as a man's life starts circling its way back around, it is amazing how you often return to the place of your childhood. To the roots of the beginning, saints, you go back. That doesn't always mean you do that geographically, but you do it in so many respects, you could almost walk that ground. You go back and rediscover who you are. It's been said that when you come to the age of 12 years old, you'll live the rest of your life out of the roots of those years. Much of what you have become by that stage is simply expanded upon. So there's so much truth to that. Now, Jacob is going to have to deal with the person that he is. Circumstances don't change a man. They reveal the man that he is. He's going to have to deal with who he is personally. He's been deceived by Laban, but has it made him any different than what he was himself? Just because you've been dealt the blow you've given, saints, doesn't mean you're any different than that. Amen. You and I are always squawking when somebody's getting away with the thing we want to get away with or we're used to getting away with. We're always upset with a man who's committed the crime that we're not committing but we have in our own past. We're so incensed when somebody does something we've been guilty of. Just because we're tasting our own stew doesn't mean we're any different than the man that's dealing it out. Come on, church. And God's dealing with this man. He sent him to Laban, has handpicked. This was ordered and timed with God. But saints, it's still the character of the man's life. Here is so much to be said about Jacob at this moment. From past to present is when he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. My God, what an epitaph at that moment. Had he would have died there, he would not have had the ability to know God. He could not discover himself. Saints, most of the church world today is surrounded by the house of God, and the house of God is discovering them from every angle, but they cannot lay hold of it themselves. Oh my God, what a lament. A man, I've watched men struggle in the altar. I've watched folks struggle in the upper room trying to worship God, trying to pray, trying to get in, trying to get it. Oh my, I've seen them exercise themselves to sweat and tears. Walk away, they didn't get it. Over and over to exercise something they couldn't lay a hold of. Saints, what's happening is Bethel was discovering them, but they had not discovered Bethel themselves. There has to come a fateful time. There is a reckoning moment. I've watched this in men's life. I remember there are pinnacle moments in a reckoning time. When God brings everything full circle to discover what a man's truly going to do, and those moments escalate into a pinnacle time where it becomes determined that a man either is going to serve God or is going to refuse to. In that time, so many things come out. And if a man refuses to serve God, who's God determined he wants to use him, but he will not make up his mind to serve God, he wants to carry on life as usual. But there is no usual life to a man who has God's intention upon him but will not obey God. You hear me, saints? The most difficult place to stand is a man who God wants to do something, but they cannot discover it in themselves. Oh, my. You know, I've had people, it's amazing oftentimes that those who can't discover God, they amen you the hardest, they agree with you the most, they're behind you with all their words, everything in the world, but they cannot get a hold of it. You bring them to the water, they don't know how to drink. Bring them to the altar, and they exercise themselves demonstratively, but cannot get through themselves. Saints, there's got to be a reckoning moment. God has got to bring Jacob to a place where he is either going to get a name change or he's going to remain the deceiver that he's always been. He brings him down to this. Now, he simply reintroduces Esau into his life. Saint of God, you may be here tonight, and the necessity of that soul is that God would reintroduce an Esau into that life. He said, God, you promised to do a thing in me. I've been through hardship. Will I have to face Esau? Saints of God, can I tell you, it is in the great compassion of the divine God that would lead you and I, if necessary, to places of great breaking. He's been through a great ordeal with Laban, but it wasn't enough to break him. He's deceiving all the way out of the house. So God brings him back to Esau. Esau wants to kill him. That's all he knows about this man. He's going to lose his life. He brings him back on those grounds. That is the mercy of God. This is the reckoning hour. He's either going to get in or he's going to get out. He's going to make up his mind to serve God or he's not. The Bible said down by that brook with his family separated from him, he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. He lays a hold of him. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. He's still trying to deal with God. The Bible said he could prevail nothing against Jacob. How many knows they could have touched him in his head and threw him on the other side of the planet if he wanted to? That's not what it was talking about, saints. It's because he couldn't break through to his spirit. He couldn't get what he was trying to accomplish inside of Jacob wouldn't accomplish. Come on, Charlie. I said it wouldn't accomplish. God was after something, but it wouldn't accomplish. He was after something. He was trying to form something in him. He presented himself. He gave him an opportunity with God by himself. He wrestled, held on to him. He said, it's the breaking of the day, let me go. He said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. He could prevail nothing against him. But then he asked him his name. Saints, it says nothing more than that. But he asked him his name. He said, my name is Jacob. And that I promise you. There was the breaking. That was the point. Jacob was what he was. His brother, is he not termed rightly Jacob? He's deceived me these times. He stole my blessing, my birthright. He's a deceiver. Oh, that's who he is. When he declared who he was, saints. Church, you can't get most of the church to declare anything honestly anymore. So reality is almost altogether completely gone today. For a man to become absolutely honest with who he is and what he is a tremendous miracle of great proportions anymore. He has so many places he can hide. He can hide in religion. He can hide in theology. He can hide among his friends, his cohorts, his family members. He can hide among his heritage. He can hide among those who believe in him, have faith in him. And he can hide himself by distance because he doesn't want to be discovered for the true reality that he is. Distance himself so he can live his own life, simply hoping they'll continue to believe about him what they believed in the beginning. Come on, church. Hide himself. Saints, there comes a time when God must discover that life. It must be discovered. When it come down, he said, what's your name? He knew exactly what to ask him. You know, God knew what to ask Jacob before he asked him. He couldn't prevail anything, but he held. He held that. Saints, obedience is better than sacrifice. It would not have been necessary if obedience that he had ever had to walk with that halted thigh. That sinew would not have had to shrink. All of the things. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But it is the great mercy of God that he'd bring this man to that final hour. What's your name? My name is Jacob. And there he breaks because he gets a name change. He's changed him from Jacob to Israel as a prince. Before God and man, you've prevailed. That means you not only prevailed with men, you've prevailed with God. You broke through. You broke through. Saint, I tell you tonight, you must have that breakthrough hour in your life personally. Or God will only have an intention for you. Bethel will discover you, but you won't discover Bethel. Don't let that be said of your life. Don't let that end there for you. You've got to discover Bethel yourself. You can be surrounded by all the wonderful intentions. You have a heritage of the past, but you must lay a hold by yourself. You've got to get this on your own. You've got to break through on your own. I've watched men try to push and shove, ask the questions, do the works, go through all of the calisthenics, try and try and try, and can never measure up, and it never happens. It's always, I can never get that far, I can never break through, and I just can't make it happen. It won't come through. They're so frustrated. And why won't it happen for me? Others can get in. I've been at this so many years. All at why? It's because Bethel has always done the discovering. They've never broken through on grounds to touch God all by themselves. Saints, once you break through to Bethel, that name change comes. That new spirit inside begins to take over. You break through on that ground. You break through. Oh, my God, you'll see it. There it is. This is the house of God. He knew that was God. He knew that. Saints, there's a declaration of that. There is that covenant, God flowing out of that man. Now there's a discovery of God. He can bring him to that place. He said, after this, he said, let's go back to Bethel. For the place of the beginning, I made an altar before God. We're going to go back to Bethel. Saints of God, he went back on ground where God spoke to him. This time, church, he went back knowing where the house of God was. Amen. God discovered himself to the man. Now the man is going to discover himself to God. Come on, church. He's going back to the ground, but he's going back a different way. Oh, hallelujah. Saints, it's time when the altar's working on me. But church, when I lay myself across on the altar, altar and I can work toward God. Amen. One thing for God to convict and God to challenge, but when my spirit rises up and channels itself in that same flow of that divine Holy Ghost, when I'm not surprised that God's here, but I'm expectant, I know where to go and I know what to do when I get there. This man said, let us go back to Bethel, where from the beginning I made a covenant with God. I poured oil on those stones and made an altar, and God said, I'm going to bless you, and through you, you'll be a blessing. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Say to God, I challenge you tonight to discover Bethel all for yourself. My God, would you lift your hands? Mando de Santa Leboco, Bifra Santa Lebetia Leboco Sata. Would you stand with me tonight? Ask my wife to come to the piano as you and I are shutting with God across this room. Oh, I want you to pray with me, church. Oh, my. Oh, God. Father, tonight I ask you to reveal yourself, God, to these here. God, whether they've discovered Bethel themselves or Bethel has been doing the discovering. Father, in this room tonight, Lord, God, I pray, Father, in the reckoning hour of our lives, God, we'd discover what we're going to do. We'd make up our mind on God. Oh, hallelujah. God, we must come to task with this reality. As she begins to play and you're shutting with the Lord tonight, saints, I want you to take a walk down memory lane for a little bit. She just begins to play. I want you to look back on all the times that God has intercepted you. Altars of the past, revivals of the past, messages of the past, prayer meetings, the heritage that you've had, the times when God spoke to you in the altar. Son, daughter, I'm going to do a thing in you. Tonight you're still looking for that to take place. You must understand, child of God, it is very likely that in your life, all of those was Bethel discovering you. There has to come a faithful experience in your life. You discover Bethel on your own. And if you have tonight, you're in full agreement with what I'm preaching. And if you have not, you're questioning yourself on what line, you side of the line you stand on. Many times, saints, we equate that God's spoken to us as if we've spoken to Him.